I'd like to read to you an article written by Swami Ramdas entitled, You Are the Truth. True freedom and peace are things of the spirit. They are the inherent truths of every human being. When you dwell in that spirit, when you realize the glory of your immortal existence, then alone you enjoy the blessedness of real liberation. This state is not conditioned by external situations and circumstances. In all places, at all times, the dazzling spirit of your being ever sheds its immortal splendor. For one who has attained the supreme state, there is no adversity, no sorrow, and no perplexity. He is free from the clutches of fear and doubt because he has realized himself to be the deathless and ever-blissful spirit. His individual life, so far presumed as something apart from the rest of the universe, has now dissolved, as it were, in the immutable consciousness that pervades the vast manifestation of nature and transcends it to infinity. The sense of duality, which had so long circumscribed his vision and set limitations on him, has vanished. Put him anywhere, however undesirable and unpleasant the situation may be. His freedom and peace remain untouched and unaffected. His life is a continued experience of eternal light, love, and peace. A devotee illumined with the realization of this supreme truth exclaims, Cast me, O Lord, into the worst of hells, and by the power of a single drop of the infinite ocean of joy which I possess, I can convert the very hell into heaven. Such is the greatness and magnificence of the immortal state of bliss which is your true existence. Your life is a ceaseless flow, singing the song of eternity. Your life is the sun that ever emits the rays of immortal radiance. Your life is the very expression of exquisite beauty and grace. Your life again is a veritable flood of joy that inundates the world. This life covers, envelops, permeates, and absorbs into itself the visible universe and the invisible essence, unchanging and unmanifest. To know this truth, to realize this truth, is to attain to a freedom and joy and ecstasy and delight which is simply inexpressible. Oh, friend, you are this life, this truth, this God in totality, in all his subtler and grosser aspects, a full-blown divinity. Your nature is pure bliss, limitless love, and absolute peace. Your true being is cosmic. Your real essence is universal. You are the great truth, the supreme one, than whom there is none other. Think of, meditate on, and live in this divine state, and declare yourself to be the truth imbued with infinite possibilities and powers, and through the consequent transformed vision, behold the world as yourself, your own body, your very image. Know that to possess this vision itself is to do good to the world, to love the world, to serve the world, because this vision does not admit of anything else, since it fulfills itself in a spontaneous revealment of its glory in all the ways for the beneficence of the world. Our Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I've chosen for my sermon title this morning, You Are the Fullness of God. Each and every one of you are the fullness of God, whether you recognize that fact or not. Why are you the fullness of God? Because you are made in his image and likeness, said the Christ. And that is the most wonderful thing in the world to think about, that you are made in the image and likeness of God. You are filled with his love, with his compassion, with his sympathy, with his peace, with the bliss which passeth all human understanding. But in the beginning, as we put our feet on the spiritual path, we do not realize that indeed we are the fullness of God. We go through many things. We start as little children at our father's and mother's knees, and we look to them for help, for support. And we are taught about the things of the world. But the thing that takes possession of us right from the beginning is the I am the body idea. You think that you are this body, but in fact you are not. Because you have a body, you have a mind, you have a soul. Who is this I that is the proud possessor of these three things? It is the Christ in you, the infinite spirit of God the Father, who manifests himself in all creation and every form that exists as the Son. And as you will notice here, it says in these last two verses, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this is our church. It is the temple of the living God. And if we could lift our consciousness and really become one with that infinite presence within ourselves, if we would take the time, morning and evening, to sit down and meditate upon God alone, lifting ourselves above all mundane thoughts and desires, but just to encourage within ourselves, to reach out within ourselves for one thing alone, and that is our union with God. Because that is our real self, that Christ within us, that one who has the power to move mountains, to move heaven and earth. He is the firstborn of every creature, it says in Colossians. The firstborn of every creature, not just one man who lived 2,000 years ago, but the firstborn of every single creature. That life, that spirit, that will, that power, that intelligence, which is in each and every one of us. This is the fullness of Christ within us. And that makes us the fullness of God when we have finally realized that. Now, there are many steps to be taken, because we have to start at the beginning of anything. It is like We cannot start in the kindergarten today and graduate from the university tomorrow. We must study the lessons, take the tests, and pass the examinations. And then we are promoted to the next state, the next grade in school. And that is why we have so many different types of religions. And even under the broad headings of Hinduism, of Buddhism, of the Muslim faith, of Mohammedism, of Christianity, and all of the rest, Shintoism, you have offshoots of these, because some human being always thinks that he knows more than some saint who went all the way to God and founded these great religions. They want to have offshoots. They don't approve. Everybody doesn't approve of somebody or something that is going on somewhere, and they want to change it. They don't realize that when somebody has dedicated their total lives to God, when they are willing to pick up their cross, which is their body, because as you stand upright, your body is in the form of a cross with your arms outstretched and your feet together. And it is upon this cross that this human ego must be crucified. It must be transformed in order that you might one day come face to face with God and become the Son of God, the Christed One. Remember that it is said that Jesus was the Son of Man, but he became the Son of God only after he went through the crucifixion and he descended into the hell of his own being, which is the subconscious, went through all of the things that were necessary to meet the karma or the past actions that had gone before. All of these things are stored up in your memory storehouse. You are the director of your lives. Every single one of us is. We cannot blame anyone for anything that happens to us, because whatever happens as of this moment, we have brought upon ourselves through either our good or our bad actions. There is no difference in any single person, because each of us writes our own destiny upon our own foreheads with our own hand. Why? Because we, unlike all of the rest of God's creation, are born with intelligence, we're born with free will, we're born with discrimination, and we can use that free will, we can use that discrimination to choose the difference between right and wrong. So therefore, no one else is to blame. If someone else does something to you, then you don't need to take that upon yourself. Examine yourself to see if you were at fault. If so, change yourself. If not, then just disregard it. Disregard it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to take it to yourself. You don't have to suffer about it. You just have to let go of it. I think I've told some of you the story before about a master in India who had a very wonderful disciple. And he was very, very fond of this disciple. And he paid a great deal of attention. He kept him with him all of the time, even let him sleep with him. He gave him all the best food, easy chores to do. He talked to him about God day and night. And this devotee really was sitting in a nice spot. But one day the master realized that he was spoiling the devotee, and it was time to chastise him a little bit. So he started giving him harder tasks. He kept him away from him. He started bringing other devotees close to him and paying a lot of attention to them. And this devotee didn't like it at all. He was really just like a little child that has been overspoiled by too much care from its parent. And so one day, it had gone on for such a long time then that he couldn't stand it any longer. He just couldn't stand it. So he ran to the master, and he called him every name under the sun. He told him he hated him. He didn't like the way he was being treated. He'd been ostracized. Everybody else was getting the attention. Why was he doing this to him? And he never wanted to see him again. And he ran away and left him. Well, he went out into the world, and for a little while, everything was just right. Because he had freedom, he didn't have any rules and regulations, which everybody must have in the beginning. And he was able to do what he wanted to, eat what he wanted to, drink what he wanted to, go with whom he wanted to, get home when he wanted to. There were no restrictions at all. And it was just great. He was living it up. But finally, one day, he started remembering, in the quietness of his own soul, all the tremendous love his guru had showered upon him, all the wonderful truth he had given him, how he had kept him beside him with such great love. And he realized that he had just been tested. And his heart almost broke thinking about the terrible things that he had said to his master and all the things that he had done, the fact that he had left him. And he was devastated. So he thought, what shall I do? So he thought to himself, I must go. I must apologize to him. So he ran as fast as his feet could carry him. He threw himself at the feet of his master and he said, oh, master, how can you ever forgive me for the terrible things that I said to you and the terrible things that I've done to you? You who have showered me with such love, who had nothing but my highest good in mind. How can I ever look at you again? Please forgive me. The master reached down very tenderly and picked the young man up. And he said, my son, you have done nothing to me. Oh, yes, he said, I called you terrible names. I spoke terrible to you. And he said, I ran away from you. I told you I never wanted to see you again. You must forgive me. He said, my son, if you were to hand me an apple and I were to refuse it, where would the apple still be? Well, I would still have it, sir. He said, just so with the abuse you gave me. I did not accept it, and so it is still with you. You need not accept the things that people give to you if you know inside of yourself you are right. Rules and regulations have to be made. They have to be obeyed. They cannot be changed just for one person or a couple of people because the rules are made for the greatest good of all concerned. And this is the way we try to do everything that we do for God, with our attention fully upon Him and upon Him alone, because He is the fullness. We are the fullness of God. We have a whole universe inside of ourselves. We have the sun, which is the spiritual eye in the center of the forehead. We have the moon, which is the psychic center in the solar plexus that is called the second brain. We have all of the planets within ourselves, the 12 stellar systems. We have the rivers, the tributaries. We have everything. We have a whole universe inside of ourselves. And that universe is exactly what we make it, through our thoughts, through our words, and through our deeds. And nobody but ourselves are responsible, is responsible for that, but ourselves. We want peace. We want harmony. Rules have to be made for conduct while we are still on the path. These rules have to be obeyed. They cannot be changed for one or two or three people. They are made for the highest good of all concerned, and that has been so since the beginning of time. But we have as few rules and regulations because we don't have a name, we don't have an organization. For one reason, we want the full attention upon God. We want that attention to be indrawn. God is everywhere equally present, but He is to be found only within ourselves, because even as we think of heaven and of earth outside of ourselves, also that heaven and that earth is right within ourselves. We have that heaven and earth within our own being. And what we want to do is to purify this earthly abode so that we may spiritualize it and we may find that inimitable love and peace and bliss and glory, which is to say the Christ within us, because that's where He is. He is in every man, but He is born the Son of Man. Each and every one of us is born the Son of Man, even as Jesus the Christ, who came as a shining example, was born the Son of Man. And He is not the only one, because we have Confucius, we have Buddha, we have Krishna, we have Zoroaster, we have Muhammad. We have all of these great ones who came to show us the way. And each one comes at a different part of the world, at a different time, when the world is in a terrible shape and needs to be lifted up and realize who and what its individuals are. Because God in the kingdom of heaven can be found only within yourself. If you are looking for the Christ to come a second time out of the clouds of heaven, out here, disabuse yourself. because it says that the kingdom of heaven is within, and that Christ will come a second time out of the cloud of heaven, when each and every one so purifies himself as to receive him. This means right conduct. It means the obeying of the Ten Commandments. It doesn't mean to abuse your body with drugs, with liquor, with cigarettes, with overindulgence in sex and all the rest of it, because the body must be completely pure. You must be completely pure physically, mentally, and spiritually before this tremendous experience can come to you. And this is a lifting up out of the humanness of yourself into the divine. And when you feel the ecstasy, the bliss of God's presence, when you are willing to give up the things of the flesh and fix your attention on Him alone, you will find that you have something that exceeds what you have had, so much greater than anything you've ever experienced, that there is no comparison. Words cannot describe it. I was in Honolulu not too many months ago, and I met a man who was very, very famous in spiritual work here. We got into quite a conversation, and he was talking about bliss. He was talking about peace. He was talking about ecstasy. He was talking about power and the experiences that he has had. And all of a sudden, I said, all of these things are wonderful, but they can still be felt by the five senses. They can be experienced by the five senses. And you have to go beyond. That is this shining example that the Christian scriptures set before us. That Jesus, the Son of Man, died on his own cross, which was his body, in order that he might become the Christed One, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God. And he is within each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us. You have to go beyond duality into the nothingness, if you will, or the everythingness, depending on which way your mind goes. But you go beyond human thought. I remember when this happened to me. I lost body consciousness. This was in India, 21 years ago. I went through a tremendous experience. I'd been raised a Roman Catholic. Nobody had ever told me that the crucifixion was going to happen within myself. Nobody told me that it was the way that it turned out to be. Nobody, because I had gone to the Orthodox Catholic Church. I had been taught about the one man, Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross to save us from sin. And yet I looked around at this world and I saw that never in the history of the world had sin been any greater than it was. Where was this promise that was to be kept? Where was it? Had Christ really ascended into heaven? Was he going to draw us all up with him there? But if he himself hadn't ascended, then how could we possibly be drawn up? Because I was looking to one man, as I had been taught, Jesus, the Son of Man, who was born 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem, we are told, to lift me up. Even though I had studied with a Hindu master, still I didn't know the true meaning of what it meant until I went to India and all of a sudden was put through this tremendous experience of the crucifixion within myself. I know what it means to die on my own cross, which is my body. I know what it means to descend into the hell or the subconscious of my own being. I know what it means to suffer for everything I ever did, as all of the things that I had done, not only in this lifetime, but through incarnation. Certain ones of them were paraded before me. And I paid the price. I paid a tremendous price. I died on my own cross, which is my body. But I arose again from the dead. And don't think that this is just unique with me, because others have had this same experience. Because don't forget that the Bible is written in parables. It says so there very distinctly. And only to the one who is ready to receive, whose whole heart and mind and soul cries out for God, is that one lifted up and put through these experiences so that you may know the truth instead of the parables. Not everyone must know, because as it says there, if you are not ready, it could destroy you, because the fire which burns in your body, this kundalini flame, as the Hindus call it, which burns in the spine and permeates your whole being until you're as red as a beet, can burn you with a thousand, the fire of a thousand deaths, if you are not conditioned to receive it. So all of you who are on the spiritual path, all of you who have taken lessons from anyone who calls themselves a master, if your body, I tell you this, if your body is not conditioned to receive this great fire and you yourself have no control over when it's coming, then you better take a good look at the life you are living and start to purify yourselves, to lift yourselves up, to give up the things of the flesh, and to fix your full attention upon God through Christ by whatever name you want to call him, whether you want to call him Krishna, the Buddha, Muhammad, Zoroaster, whatever. He is the Christ in you. Heaven is to be found within yourself, and so is hell. And the amazing thing is that you make your own heaven or you make your own hell. Nobody else does it for you. You can blame all the other people in the world. You can hold grudges. But you yourself, every moment of your life, are responsible for exactly what comes to you, because as ye give, so shall ye receive. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. And that's an immutable, an unchangeable law of this whole universe. And no man can change it. You are responsible for every thought, every word, every action that goes forth from you every moment of your life. And if you want to send forth discord, anger, unhappiness, tears, troublemaking, all the rest of it, that's what you're going to reap. But if you send love and understanding and compassion and sympathy and good works and good deeds to all of your fellow men everywhere, that is what's going to come back to you. And don't serve man, serve God in man. Because that intelligence, that life, that very spark, that power, that everything which you call you is God in you. And he is beyond the human. But you've got to pay the price, and how many are willing to do it? So many people give lip service. They give lip service to God. And they say, they pretend to be so good, so holy. But they're criticizing everybody else all the time. They're comparing themselves with other people. And believe me, they find the other people wanting. Who are we to judge our neighbors? Judge not, lest ye be judged. If we keep our attention upon God where it should be every moment of our lives, if we think only of him, if we let every thought, every word, every act be of him, this is going to change and be a better world, and it will never change. This terrible world in which we live in, where we can't walk down the streets, we can't go into a park, we can't go out at night anymore, but what somebody is maimed or murdered or attacked in some way. What a terrible world we have made for ourselves. God didn't make that world, because he is all goodness, all sweetness, all purity, all light, all the power and the wonder and the glory of good. But he made man in his image and his likeness. Image means form and likeness means spirit. And like himself, because he made man in his image and likeness, he gave him free will. Man has a free will to choose whether he is going to go the good way or the bad way. And in accordance with man's own free choice, then he reaps the harvest of his own thoughts, his own words, his own actions, and he cannot blame any other man for that, because he could have said either yes or no at the right moment if he so chose. But man is weak, and he gives in to the things of his senses. Rome wasn't conquered in a day, and neither does man attain his God realization overnight. It is a step-by-step process, even as you start in the kindergarten today, and you're promoted to the first grade, then the second grade, the third grade, and so on. Then you graduate into junior high today, and then into high school, then into college, and there are some hardy souls who take the additional courses to take the master's, the doctor's, the bachelor's degrees. And it's these special ones that want to really make something of themselves, that want to go to God in a hurry, that want to get everything that they can, and they are willing to do everything that they can. They're not troublemakers. They are peacemakers. And they are out to learn everything, to do everything that is required of them, in order to come face to face with that great moment where God within their own souls is revealed to them. And it is a tremendous experience. It is worth anything you have to pay for it. I went through the whole thing, and it took me 15 years to go through everything that I can stand before you and tell you. I gave my life for God. I gave my life for Christ. And I really gave it upon my own cross. And the suffering that I went through was indescribable. I will tell you also that that will not be your lot. Because I have been told within and by some of the greatest saints in the world that I came with a special destiny to fulfill. This is no ego trip on my part. Don't think that I think it's a bed of roses. It's the toughest job in the world to try to change human nature and make people see that when they don't put their full attention upon God, when they don't obey His laws, that they punish themselves, and they'll fight you every inch of the way, even while telling you that they want their God realization. So the ones that are going to be the saviors for many have to pack the burdens. And if you will look at every great one that ever lived, you will find that this was so. They suffered, each of them. They took on a tremendous burden. But one thing is that they never die. Never. They live in the hearts of men forever as the examples. Because, you see, God must take form in order to teach the forms which He has created. He cannot just remain as pure spirit and help all of us. He has to take a form. But each one of us has the same opportunity of starting at the bottom and of climbing to the top. And you don't know what you miss. I tell you this, that I have been through things, suffering, even death, such as none of you have ever experienced. I know that this is true, and I have many witnesses in India. Some of the greatest masters in India were present and saw this happen. But I count it as naught for the tremendous experience that came out of it. The bliss and the knowledge of my oneness with God. I'm no longer cut in half, half human, half divine. But I am a divinized human being. That doesn't take me away from any of you, although people have trouble with that with me. Every now and then I feel like I'm over in left field someplace, you know, that everybody wants to get down and kneel or touch me or worship me and adore me. And I tell you this, that only God is to be worshipped, not any human being. But because man is built the way he is, he has to have someone whom he can look up to as an example. Someone who has gone the way, no matter what it is that he's going to study or do, so that that one can show him the way as the example. I wouldn't give up a minute of it. And I tell you that no matter what I have been through, I would go through it a million times over again to be able to stand before you and feel the bliss that I feel within my whole being of God as of this moment, to know the truth that man is God made manifest, every single man. And in accordance with the use or the misuse of his own free will, he writes his own destiny upon his own forehead. We want love. We want service. Some people say, well, shall I give up my job? Of course you should not give up your job. Because it is by setting yourself the worldly goals, making sure that this is your own inner direction, that it's the highest of that which you can possibly be. Each one comes with a special gift, something special to do for God. And find that gift. Find out what it is and go after it. I don't care how lowly, how high. And when you do that, and you go after it with all of your heart and your mind and your soul through the experiences which come to you, both good and evil, are difficult and good. Finally, we are chipped away. This human ego is chipped away until there is nothing left there but God. But God is both human and divine. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. I'm as human as any one of you. Make no mistake. I'm not setting myself up because I am only setting God up, and I want you to remember that. That's why we don't have a name. Why we don't have an organization. Because it is only God's name that is important. And our organization, if you will, extends over all of this universe and the next. It is high time that we got rid of these divisions. This one fighting against that one. This church, this denomination saying it is better. You can't do this and you can't do that. Because our church doesn't say so. God set forth the commandments, and each one is putting his own personal interpretation on them, and every now and then he stretches them a little or he bends them a little, you know, in accordance with what he feels like doing at the moment. It's true. He does. I've done it myself in times, I know. I have a lot of fun with God because, to me, God doesn't go around wearing a long face. And for those of you who are new here, I'll tell you one thing. I don't have any sinners. I just have God's children. Some of them are good. Some of them are naughty, but they're all his kids. And you don't take anybody to the highest within themselves by constantly beating them over the head with a stick. You hold out something beautiful. Something beautiful in God. And that beauty is to be found right within yourself. Did you ever close your eyes and think that that life, that intelligence, that power, that will, which you call you, is actually God inside of this temple which he made? It's a beautiful, it's a wonderful, and sometimes a very startling thought. When you start reaching out for that heaven within yourself, you don't go running here and there to a forest or to this or to that or to the other thing. You sit quietly in the stillness of your own soul. Remember in one of the Psalms, I think it's 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." That great I am that is the real you inside needs stillness. It needs peace. It needs quiet to be discovered. And when you go inside of yourself and you discover the wonder and the beauty and the glory and the bliss, the ecstasy, and anything that you want to know in all of this universe and beyond, when you need it, is right within yourself. Believe me, you take a look at all that you've been doing outside and you find it wanting. I have fun. I can go in any walk of life with anybody. I don't care if it's in the lowest, and I have done it. I've been over in India 3 times, and I've been out in the forest, in the jungles, and I've slept on the ground. I've slept in railway stations. I've slept on a bare board. Doesn't make any difference. But I have been in the company of people who are holy people, whose whole lives are dedicated to but one thing, and that is realizing their oneness with God, who and what they really are. Because until you are willing to make the effort to go within yourself and find out who and what you are, you're going to live in this world of duality, and you're going to suffer. Because one moment you're up, and the next moment you're down. Today you have heaven, and tomorrow you have hell. And everything that you have brought upon yourself, because you do write your own destiny upon your own forehead with your own hand, and no one else is responsible. Even the people who beat you, who have maimed you, perhaps. And there's more than one way of maiming a person. They can be maimed emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, or whatever. They are not responsible, because whatever you have received up to this point, you have earned through some past action of your own, because that is the law of the universe. It is immutable. It is unchangeable. As ye give, so shall ye receive. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. And you cannot escape it. You may think that you can go out and be a good time Charlie and live it up and have a lot of fun. But if you step over the bounds, believe me, you're going to pay for it, and nobody else is responsible for that but yourself. You are responsible for every thought, every word, every action which goes forth from you. And if you would stop to think in all the things that we dream up, to feel so hurt about, to be angry about, or all the rest of it. If you would think that whatever you're thinking is against God in the person that stands before you, you might stop and think twice. It isn't an easy thing to overcome a pattern of not only one lifetime, but of lifetimes. Because this human ego is really something to get rid of. You think you have it corralled, and it breaks out the seams. You get it over here, and it's like bubble gum. you know? You chew it, and then out it comes in a great big bubble over here. It really is the truth. And people are so willing to give good advice. They can always see what's wrong with the other fellow, but they never stop and look within themselves and see where they are wrong. We have to have rules. We have to have regulations, because God made the first rules and the first regulations. He put the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. He made day and he made night. He made the sunshine. He made the nighttime. And he did all of these things, and they operate in complete and perfect order unless man interferes with it. And it is man, through the misuse of his own free will, through the thoughts which he holds in his own consciousness, which are not of God, that makes all the difference. You can build your own world into a place of beauty, of wonder, and of glory. There's a price to be paid, but it isn't 1 minute as great a price to pay as that which you impose upon yourself every day when you don't do what you're supposed to do, when you aren't as you should be, when you break the laws of God. If you would look at every person who comes before you and see God in that person, would you do some of the things that you do? Would you act? Would you think? Would you say some of the things actually that you do? I don't think so. And yet that's where he resides, right inside of you. He is in your heart. He is on the throne of your consciousness. He is with you every moment, waiting for you to recognize him, to get rid of this dual existence, even after you have realized your oneness with God. If you are, through his grace, to remain in this world and do a good work, perhaps, or just by your very presence, because you have risen to that great height, change humanity in silence. Still, if that is to be, then you must start in now, thinking about these things. You must watch your thoughts, your words, your actions. You must be willing to give up the things which harm you and other people. If you, no matter where, and everyone who comes before you, you see God in you. Sometimes he loves you. Sometimes he plays with you. Sometimes he is your enemy. Sometimes he chastises you. But don't forget, it's your enemy who makes you grow. It makes you measure up. He is the one who tests you to see if you are strong enough to see who it is beside that mask, or behind that mask that is facing you there. And if you will look hard enough, you will see God there, peeping out behind that mask. There is nothing but God everywhere. God created this universe and everything that is in it. Everything. And he gave man free will. Man, of all of his creatures, he gave consciousness, he gave discrimination, he gave free will, the freedom of choice. He made perfect law. God doesn't do these things. He made perfect law, gave man his free will, and in accordance with what man does with his free will, he brings either his own reward or his own punishment. Trouble is, we're all thinking of ourselves, our little selves, all the time. And we fail to put our attention upon God, who is the sole creator, the sole provider, the sole sustainer of all of this world and all of the rest of the worlds beyond our ability to imagine. If you could lift your mind from your little self and think of the vastness of God's universe, that which is contained within his one body, even as I have all of these things within my body. I have the 6 spinal centers, but I have a positive and negative current in each one, so these are the 12 signs of the zodiac right within myself. And then I have that 7th center, in which are contained the 2, but which function as one. And that is the head of the body, the church. This is the church, the temple of the living God. And when I close my eyes and forget all of the things of the world and go above duality, I commune with my Father. He fills me with his peace, with his bliss. He gives me anything I need in order to do anything that he designs that I should do for him. I live a life of peace, of happiness, of strife, of discord, of everything. And yet, I don't do it. He does whatever is necessary for whoever comes before me. I of myself do nothing, because long ago I gave this body to God to use as he would. And he took it. He put me through all the things to make me know the truth. And it is his to do with what he wills. How many of you have the courage to give yourselves totally to God? Not thinking about anything or anybody else, but give yourselves totally to him in order that you might be one whole person. Not always divided, a house divided against itself. One moment up, the next moment down. One moment crying, one moment laughing, one moment evil, one moment good. Always these pairs of opposites. But to go beyond them and come back and live in this world of duality, but be unaffected by it except for the play. Except for the play, but to inwardly be totally untouched. To laugh, to cry, to speak, to play, to whatever. And yet always be centered in him, the one immutable Lord. That is true life. That is true living. And it is tremendous, believe me. You can take my word for it. I am 74 years old. I have lived a long life. I've seen the trains, the automobiles, the airplanes, all of this science come into being. And I have a vast amount of knowledge in this way. And yet it is nothing compared with one moment in the stillness and the quietness and the peace of my soul with God. Because he is the center from which all things stem. Seek ye first God and his kingdom, and all of the other things are added unto you. Things come to me, they flow to me. I have never in my lifetime charged one single penny for anything I have done for God. He has to support me. I don't have any special income except a social security check, which isn't very much. It only pays half my rent. That's all I have. And yet God takes care of me. And I don't go around stewing and worrying about it, because I know that I have given myself to him totally, completely. I am his child. I am his servant. I am his very self, if you will. And he will take care of me. I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. But when I give myself to him in full measure, there is nothing that I need that he doesn't give me and give me abundantly. And everything that he gives me, I use for his purpose, for his work. Because all I need, the clothes on my back, the food, to pay my bills and my rent, and the rest, I use to help all of the people anywhere and everywhere. Because this is the way it should be. We should not hoard our money. We should give it freely. The first one-tenth, as it says in the Bible, should always be used for God's work. Then I would put the next one-tenth in the bank and start saving it. And then use the other eight-tenths to do the things that you want. And as that one-tenth that belongs to you grows, having given the first one-tenth to God, then take a portion of it out and invest it and let it draw interest. Make sure that your investment is sound. And when you have accumulated what you took out of it, put it back again. Maybe 10% more if you want to. And keep on building and building and building. But let your money work for God. Let yourself work for God. Let God be first and foremost in your life, because without him you are nothing. He is your life, your intelligence, your power, your will, your everything. And yet we hold ourselves apart thinking, I do this, I do that. If he were to take my life away from me this moment, where would this body be? On the ground, without any energy, without any intelligence, without anything. And the particles of my body would disintegrate and go back to dust and would take other forms again. But that intelligence escapes from this bodily jar. And that never dies, because that is God in me. It's God in you. It is God in every living thing. And yet we waste our lives, we squander our lives, and all of this nonsense, abusing our bodies, our minds, our souls, with the things that we do. But the little petty enmities that we dream up, when God is so vast, when he is so beautiful, so wonderful, and so willing to serve us in every single way, if we would open ourselves to him, that it is indescribable. I know I tell you, there is not one thing I need but what comes to me before I think the thought. I'm almost afraid to think sometimes. But this is the way it is, because as he said, as ye give, so ye receive. So shall ye receive. So whatever you give out from yourself, know that it will come back to you. So give goodwill, give love, give service. Give of yourself and everything you have, and it will return to you a thousandfold and then some. I know I have proven. I was born in utter poverty. I haven't even had an eighth grade education. And yet I have traveled all over the world. I have talked with the heads of nations. I have lived in an ambassador's home for a year. I have seen the greats from all countries come. And some of them have come and have given up talking to other people in order to be able to talk with me. Why? Not because I am great, but because I loved God so much that I gave me up. And only he resides in this form, whether or not you want to believe it. That is your problem. It is true. I don't care for myself. I live only to serve him. And the care that he takes of me, the wonder, the beauty, the tremendous souls that he brings around me are so wonderful, so beautiful, that I stand awestruck before him in every form that I see. The world is what each and every one of us make it. We can either make it or break it, as they say. But believe me, I'd rather make it than break it. I really would. There's so much going on in this world today. If each one here would, as of this moment, take a bow within himself, to forget himself and think only of God, to do his very best in the task that is allotted to him, to listen for that still small voice of intuition within himself, and follow it to the utmost, and give love and understanding and sweetness and kindness and charity and help everywhere that he goes. If just the members in this room would do this, just think what a wide circle you could cut. And the tremendous amount of good you could do. I'm not teaching things wrong to you. I'm teaching you universal love, universal service. I haven't got any dogmas. We have just a few techniques which help you, teach you to go within inside of yourself, to watch your breath so that the breath is under control, because breathlessness is deathlessness. Did you know that you can control your breath so that you don't breathe at all, your pulse is not working at all? Years ago, I attended a large gathering where my own guru, Master Paramahansa Yogananda, was presiding. And he was powerful. He was an absolute master. And so he demonstrated before a whole great big auditorium of people that he could still his breath totally and his pulse. And he invited any medical doctor in the audience to come up and examine him, and some of them did, and they couldn't find any, and yet he was fully conscious. Fully conscious. You have so many tremendous things in your mind and your body that you've never even heard of, because all we've been taught are our ABCs in this world outside, and it's kind of a sorry place sometimes. But you have a whole tremendously exciting universe right within yourself. You have powers that you've never even dreamed of. Intelligence, knowledge, that you haven't even tapped. And we waste our time, we fritter our time with drugs, with cigarettes, with liquor, with sex, all the rest of it, when we could be using that power and building it up within ourselves to become Superman and to change this world. And God knows it never before has needed changing the way it does now. And we all know it because we're living with it. We're living with the threat of the atom bomb. We don't know which nation is going to use it against the other, whether a whole world will be destroyed. It's terrible. And it will never change. The world will never change unless each individual changes himself, because the world is made up of individuals. And until, as President Truman used to say, the buck stops here. It also starts here, I think. It really does. Because whatever you send forth from yourself comes back to you. Whatever you send forth goes out in the ether. And if you send forth thoughts of hate, of revenge, of anger, of this and that and the other thing, because your poor little ego has been damaged, that's what's going to come back to you without any question of a doubt. Whatever you give forth from yourself is what you may depend upon. You're going to receive back. So every now and then, maybe all of us should stand still and think what we're giving out from ourselves. We must. Because as ye give, so shall ye receive. You give love for hate. You give goodwill for anything that comes. We have to bring order back in this universe. We need a whole army to do this. We need to go beyond religion. Because God made man and man made religion. Don't forget that. That's a great truth. God made man and man made religion. And he not only made religion, but he's made thousands of them. And you don't know which one to choose now and which one is right. And everyone claims to have the truth. That's why we don't have one. Because I want to teach you just the truth of your own being. Because this is the temple of God. This is your church. This is a whole universe inside of yourself. And if you will go inside through the methods which are taught, which are very simple, and explore this inner universe, you will find that your whole life will change, never to be the same again. That you may have some hard times because you still got to pay for what you did back there. Don't forget, you don't get off the hook. And the more you keep on doing the things you shouldn't against the Christ within yourself, by whatever name you want to call him, the more you're going to have to pay, and nobody can save you, and you've done it to yourself. Nobody else is to blame, because you have intelligence. You have will. You have the power of choice every moment of your life. And whatever you choose to do, that you bring into existence. So think. Don't abuse your body. Make it a pure temple for the living God, because it is God who lives in each and every one of us. It is his knowledge, his power, his intelligence, and yet this little eye, I did this, I did that. Where did this knowledge come from? Where did the ability to do? Where did the ideas come from? Were you so smart that you generated them all by yourself? No way. No way. Not one single person. I don't care how great they are. It is God in that person that is doing that. Because he is the sole doer in the universe. And it is high time that we got rid of this idea of separation and realized who and what we are in God. And the truth is that we are God in human form. God in human form. This is the truth, I tell you. And yet it isn't always going around with holier than thou, teardrops dropping down your face, wearing a long face in sackcloth and ashes, all that. I wear makeup, as you can see. And so a lot of people, having heard about me and some of the experiences I've been through, all take one look at me. So she's God realized. I invite them to look what's behind, huh? Many times the teacher comes and tests, but you do what's in the world to the degree that is necessary. But you don't commit the sins against yourself or God, because there's only one definition of sin, and that is the idea of separation from God. There's only one sin, and that's it. Because contained in that one idea of separation are contained all the rest of what we call sin. And so from this moment on, I would like all of you to fix your full attention upon God, to realize your oneness with him. I invite you to go within the temples of your own beings and explore this tremendous universe that is within. You have such power in here. You have such vision. You have such knowledge, untapped, that will enable you to see not only everything in this universe, but beyond, into many, many worlds. The wise men of old, whom the Indians called rishis, came up with some fantastic information, and they found that by doing certain things within themselves, that they would get certain results. And they found that they had a spiritual eye up here in the center of the forehead. And in the Christian scriptures, it's referred to, the light of the body is the eye, singular. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. And many ministers or priests talk about. It's just keeping the consciousness on God. That isn't it. There is actually an eye, a third eye in the center of your forehead, like Cyclops. And when you close these two eyes and put the attention, don't make your eyes cross-eyed, but put your attention up here and keep your vision steady with your mind upon God, looking for this beautiful eye, which is gold on the outside. It's a beautiful blue, which is called the blue of Christ consciousness. The outside is the cosmic energy. And right in the center is the five-pointed silver star of infinitude. This is the star of the east, which is spoken of in the Christian Bible. And the three wise men are what the Hindus call the three gunas. And these are the three qualities of every man: the depressive, the activating quality, and the spiritual quality. These are the three wise men. And you will notice that when it is time for the Christ within each man to manifest himself within the individual, that these, then the story goes in allegory, that the three wise men come and leave their special gifts at the feet of the Christ. And the depressing quality was the gift of myrrh. And the activating quality, which the Hindus call the rajasic quality, is the gift of fool's gold. But the last one is incense. That's the gift of worship. And the Hindus have known about this for 5,000 years. And we think that we are original. Krishna means Christ. The Christ is but ever present because he is the only begotten Son of God the Father. And that God is universal. And his only begotten Son spreads over every atom of space, not just in one body, but he manifests particularly in certain forms so that he may make himself known upon the earth. Each one of you have the power within yourselves to become a Christ. Do you think that's desecration? No, I tell you the truth. You have. If you have the courage, if you want to rise above all of the cares, the problems, the troubles, this world of duality, and realize what you have inside of yourself, God and the kingdom of heaven, all knowledge, all power, all wisdom, everything is within you, if you will but learn to go within. Fix your full attention here upon him. Look for this star of the east within yourself, and you will find that the Christ will come to you in all of his glory. What difference does it make if you pay a little price? If you don't pay it now, you'll go on paying it all the rest of your lives. And you'll cry. And you'll wish to God one day, why did I waste my life away? I have nothing but misery left. I have to leave all of this that I've accumulated, whatever it may be or not be, and leave. But what you get within yourself, when you can come face to face with that Christ, that tremendous light of your own soul within yourself, that is life everlasting. And you take it with you. You take it with you. And you can don one garment, one human garment after another. And each time, that body becomes more filled with light. The consciousness grows higher and higher and higher, till the gross forms disappear, and there's nothing but light everywhere. And still that consciousness is there, individually and collectively. It is the one, but it is the many. It is the one, and it is the many. I invite you all to go to the Father whom I love. I have no axe to grind. I ask nothing for myself. I ask only for you. If I can help you in any way to attain the bliss, the peace, the happiness that I have, which is not without the cares and the troubles, but what difference does it make? I have him, and I shall be glad to help you. It is up to you what each and every one of you want to do from this day forward. But look at this world, look at your lives as they have been, and ask each of you, of yourself, what do I want of life? Do I want all of the wonder, the beauty, the glory? Do I want to be able to manifest anything at will? Not that you go into it for that purpose. Go into it for him alone. Seek ye first God and his kingdom, and then all of the other things shall be added unto you. That is his promise to us. And I can absolutely swear before God that I know it to be the truth, because that's the way it is with me.